Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
We hear it all the time. In the early morning, it's a symphony of twitters and chirps, tweets and trills, squawks and songs. It's our community of birds. If you're like most people, you'd love to be able to recognize more of them. You can do it. To learn how, nestle in for a sensory delight when we return on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Yes, welcome back. This is Sydney Wildsmith, and we're in a moment here. We're going to be talking about birdsong with an amazing guy, Lang Elliott, who has spent his entire life recording birds all over the world. But until we get him on the line here, I just want to encourage you to go to our website on a regular basis and check out what's going on. We have a news page, and by the way, if you're ever looking for a source for news, go to the Wild Side News and check out our news page, because on there we have links to probably all the places you'd like to know about that relate to nature and the wild. There's some great stories on there that that is a source for really keeping touch with what's going on. Also, I'm looking for regular contributors to our show. We certainly encourage our callers to call in 888-327-0061. And what I hope we can pull together through time are people who call in from all over the country and give us a sense of what's going on. We want to be a source of great information. And so go to the website, and there's a link that can get you to becoming a regular contributor. There's so many amazing things in the natural world here. Well, we're trying to reach Lang. I think I cut him off. I will figure this board out at some point here. So, Lang, if by chance you're listening online, hang up your phone and try again. I think he's on hold there. All right. You know, there's a lot of things that I'd like to do in the future here, and I'm going to talk to you about one that I think is going to be fun, and I encourage all of our listeners to do this. I like to get a sense of our country and our world, and particularly the natural elements. And I've had a dream for a long time. You know, at night, when you're as nighttime sets in, we hear dogs barking, and of course, I'm talking about this thing called common sense. And At night, if you listen, you'll hear dogs barking, and I'm always fascinated. I wonder what they're actually saying. And I've wondered if perhaps there is sort of a communication network, a common sense, as the dogs hear each other barking, that starts probably on the East Coast and then heads westward. And through time, I'm going to encourage our listeners to start to participate in an experiment. And what this would be is I'd like you to start paying attention. When you hear the dogs start to bark, number one, I'd like you to just sort of make a note of what time that is and send that to me here at the Wild Side News. You can do that by sending an email to wildsidenews.com, just like it's wildsidenews@cox.net, COX.NET. You can also contact me through the website by going to contact and send me an email that way. But what I'd like, and then another aspect of this is I would love to be able to get recordings of the dog sounds. This is a personal little dream of mine, and then kind of collect those and start to create a sense of this communication network that spreads across the country from the east to the west through time. So keep that in mind, that that pay attention to the dogs that are barking out there, and this is one thing we'd definitely like to do. So I want to let's see. You know, I'm kind of winging it here because I'm waiting for my guest, and I'd like you to go to our website. You know, one of the things I'd like to do, actually, I'd like to hear from you, because I'm trying to find out who's out there, where you're from, what your thoughts are, if you have show ideas. I definitely would like to know about that. And when you get a chance, I certainly have an email list that I send out to people. If you'd like to join our get our weekly Wild Side News update, send me an email and just let me know that you'd like to be on our list as well. And then also give me your ideas, tell me something about yourself, and that would be terrific. Well, you know, I believe I have Lang on the line. Lang, are you here?
Yes.
Hi, Lang. This board is, you know, you're a technical guy, and you can probably relate to the fact that once in a while things just don't work the way you want them to.
Right.
Sorry for the confusion, Lang.
That's okay. Yeah, I was sitting there on the phone, but I guess it was dead.
Well, yes. Anyway, hey, listen, let's move on here because, you know, you've got a lot, you have some really great stuff to talk about. Let's talk about bird calls. You've spent your entire life out there recording bird calls. How in the world did you get started with this fascinating lifestyle and actually profession?
Well, it hasn't been my entire life. It's been for 13 or 14 years. And I've been interested in sound since I was a kid, but actually about 15 years ago I was working at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. And even though I had arrived there with a parabolic reflector and a recorder, it was during my stay there that I conceived of going out and doing field recording. And I had a job that was sort of time limited, so when I left the lab, I had a little money. I started traveling and recording and thinking that maybe I could gather a lot of recordings and start putting together guides and things. That's what I did.
You certainly have done that. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about two of your books, and in the background, we're going to be playing some of the songs that you've recorded. Mm-hmm. What I'd really like to do is help our listeners learn how they can better learn the bird calls. I know for myself, I was approaching it all wrong. The audio books came out originally on tape, and I'd sit there and play the tapes and take notes and try to imagine I could learn the calls through memory. And you know what? You've easily convinced me that that's the wrong way to go about it. Why don't you tell us the right way to do it?
Well, you can buy all the learning tools available, but if you don't have a reference, sort of an experiential reference, it's not going to do you a whole lot of good unless you have really superb memory. What a person really needs to do is get outdoors, hear birds, chase down as many birds as possible so you can see who is making the sound, get a number of sense impressions, and that ends up being your grounding when you're listening to the various books and CDs, books with CDs, or just the compact disc or the old cassette productions. If you have some experiential base, you'll be able to make a whole lot more sense out of that. It'll be much more relevant to you. So I think it's just critically important that people get outdoors and do their best to chase down singers and get those experiences, like see a bird singing, have something you can remember. So if you're listening to a CD and a bird comes up, you say, oh yeah, you know, I know that bird, I have some experience with the bird, even if it's not with the sound in particular, but that'll give you something to feast your mind on as you're listening to the sound, and then the sounds that you hear will be much more relevant to you.
Well, that's absolutely right. I think going out and trying to first have a good field guide so that you can identify the bird and paying attention to the bird call. And, of course, once you have that the name of the bird, then it would be very easy and intelligent, just using common sense, to go back to, for example, one of your audio field guides and see if that makes sense, if that seems to be the call that you associate with that bird.
Right. Well, with my Know Your Bird Sound guides, the focus is on the repertoire of common birds. So while it's unlikely that somebody's going to go out and hear all these different calls and various aspects of a bird's repertoire, at least you can go out and you'll hear the male singing, you'll home in on the bird, see the bird, associate it with at least its primary sound that you're most likely to hear. And then when you come back to, like, my Know Your Bird Sound guides and listen to the presentation of the vocal repertoire of that bird, it'll just make much more sense to you, even if you're not don't have experience with the individual call.
Well, you know, you're talking a little bit. You are a scientist kind of guy. The way I'm going to interpret that, it makes perfect sense, and that is that I know I've gone out and I've, for example, used other guides and they typically will have one or two calls. But what you've really done here is particularly in the books, and by the way, what we're talking about here, and they're on the website. For today's show, these are put out by Stackpole Press. You have two bird volumes, Know Your Bird Sounds Volume 1, and the thing I also like about this is the fact that you've kind of categorized these by where you might find them. So, for example, if you tend to be closer to yards and gardens and city, then this particular volume, which has about 32 or 33 birds, I think? 35, actually.
Yeah.
These would be the birds that you'd typically find in those areas. And then the other one, which is Know Your Birds Sounds Volume 2, and of course these have a CD. These would be the songs and calls of birds of the countryside and forests and sort of often as well as seashores. But the thing that I like is the fact that you have the whole repertoire, because you can look at a bird one time, it'll be singing one type of song, and at another time another, and I think it's a very useful tool.
Yeah, well, that was the whole emphasis of these guides, was to expose a person to the language of each of these species. And it's not totally complete, but I was able to, for each bird, have on the average like four or five, sometimes more, different things that that bird does. And these are the things that you're most likely to hear if you go out and, like, if you were to chase after a bird for a considerable period of time and watch it interact with others of its own species, you would hear all these different calls. Scientifically, the repertoires are even larger, but it gets down to very, very subtle stuff that you might not be close enough to hear, or that might be variations on a general theme that I do cover in these books.
Well, I think in some cases you even have the wing sounds of flight.
Oh, yes. There's non-vocal sounds, too, yeah. Like drumming of woodpeckers, where they're banging their beaks on wood. It's a communication signal, but it's a non-vocal communication signal. And then a number of birds make various wing noises. Some are incidental just to flight, like a hummingbird, you know, hums when it flies. It can't help but hum, but of course it is meaningful to other hummingbirds because they hear that.
So how long have you been out doing this? And it leads me to wonder, in all of these adventures, I'd like to know a little bit actually about your field work, because I'm envious. That's such a wonderful way to spend time. But also, what are some of the favorite birds that you've come across, or unusual moments in your quest to capture? Actually, it's the sound of nature, not just birds.
Uh-huh. Oh, I don't know. There's so many that it's hard for me to home in on any particular thing. But, you know, I have a lot of fond memories from traveling around in Florida, trying to get my really good recordings of things like barred owls or limpkins or alligators growling, and a lot of adventures where I would be very, very frustrated because I wasn't doing very well, and then right when I thought there was no chance I was going to have any luck, then things just suddenly fall into your lap.
Now, you also have a new book out by Stackpole, and by the way, you also publish with other publishers. Why don't you talk briefly about some of the places and publishers that you've worked with, and we'll talk about frogs and toads.
Right. Well, right now I have two books that feature a lot of color photographs of birds along with the compact disc. I have two books with Houghton Mifflin. One is called Common Birds and Their Songs. That covers 50 common birds with really nice color photographs. And then a disc where you can hear, really, again, it's an emphasis on the repertoires of each bird. Then I have another book called Music of the Birds, A Celebration of Bird Song, which features a whole lot of my singing bird photographs, plus I drew a lot of poems and quotes from naturalists out of the literature. So the whole focus is on the aesthetics, the poetry of it all.
Well, that sounds very, very interesting.
It's a really nice gift item, you know, like a Christmas gift or a birthday gift, the Music of the Birds book.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a very large-scale reference guide to Eastern and Central bird songs with Donald and Lillian Stokes, and it's the Stokes Field Guide to Bird Songs, Eastern Central.
Those are very relatively complete, I believe, aren't they?
Yeah, well, 370-something species for Eastern and Central North America, and again, I included a whole lot of the various calls that the different birds make, so I think it is... right now, the best reference guide, broad-scale reference guide out there that will inform you to the different things that each bird does.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Why don't you tell people what they can learn, how they can benefit from going out and becoming familiar with the bird calls?
Well, I think that your greatest benefit is the joy that it brings, the joy of recognition. If you learn the calls, like, it's way easier to hear a bird than it is to see a bird. So if you know the songs and calls, just as soon as you step outdoors on a spring or summer morning, you're greeted by the voices of all what have become close friends, the birds,
Lang,
the feathered friends.
Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
Here on the Wild Side News, thanks. When we return, more about common sense.